I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love.
And love to hate.
All things fashion. Fashion. Fashion.
Hey. Oh, hello, hello, hello. It's The Fashion Hags. We're here in your earbuds.
Yes, we're back. It's been a minute.
We put our phones down. We put the wigs and the cats and the shoes away for
the lashes in the ear.
Just for the next 90 minutes.
Just for a little while. You guys, hi. What's going on?
Oh, it's been forever.
We took a little vacay. Well, I took a little vacay.
Summer hiatus.
And then we came back and then here we are. And then we're here and we're back and we're here. Hello.
Yes, talking to microphones.
Feels like 1,000 years has gone by.
It's true.
It's really only been a couple of weeks.
But it's been a long time.
So much has happened. When I came in, you're like, how was the thing you did? And I was like, oh my God, that was so long. So much has happened. So much has happened since that thing happened. The thing she was talking about was the boat, and the boat was fantastic.
Yes.
I went on a boat and it was lovely. Go on a boat if you can get on a boat. But also, if you're going to get on a boat,
make sure it's a good boat.
Make sure it's a good boat, and also make sure that you can get off that boat. That's the most important part of a boat.
There's a mooring schedule.
If the situation arises, you can GTFO.
Get off that boat.
Yeah. So, like, my experience with boats has been, like, paddle boats that my Pepe's built. Like, the inflatable.
Just for scooting around the lake.
Scooting around. Yeah. Hunting, you know? And then there's the inflatable, I don't know what the fuck they're called. Zodiac.
Boats,
yeah,
that I took out onto Hudson Bay when I was 16.
Ooh, that's
fun. That's a hell of an adventure.
Beluga whales.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Imagine being on a tiny little dinghy with 10 midshift people and a beluga
and
whale
a fucking
going
whale
right underneath you.
That is exhilarating.
And then you
but they're
jump
like
from
the friendliest little dudes, aren't they? Aren't
they can fuck you up.
They will.
Really?
They'll dunk you into the water.
They will.
They can fuck you up.
A beluga.
Can imagine.
I thought they were
the bottom. Apparently, the bottom of all of these things are reflective, so they don't actually see them.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
And
that's
fact,
cool.
And like our hands are so small in comparison to the rest of their body.
They don't even.
Like, it doesn't register.
It's all blubber.
Yeah, yeah. But they feel like exactly how you think. Like kind of like hard, but like slimy,
and shiny, weird, and, smooth,
and shiny,
weird.
And wonderful, and like
God,
prehistoric.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool.
And then I jump from a Zodiac all the way up to a ferry. So there's nothing
it.
In the middle. I've never been on anything
in between.
In the middle.
Canoe?
Like a one person
like
one?
Like a paddling of
sure.
a canoe.
No.
Yeah.
No. Just like a wooden paddle boat to the Zodiac and then all the way up to a British Columbia BC ferry.
Well, 1,000 people.
Thousands of people and like 200 cars, screaming children.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Burgers, soft serve.
Oh, that soft serve. Serve yourself, soft serve. Self-serve, soft serve.
It's
yes,
good
please.
Time.
That's great. That's a good one. Yeah, no, the boat was great. It was, technically you could call it a yacht. It was like me and Beyonce. No, it was like a recreational vehicle on water. It was like an RV. And it was awesome. I'm just going to apologize in advance because I'm fighting off a tiny little cold, I think.
A little froggy frog.
And it's also, guess what? Allergy season.
Yes, good times.
But I'm combating it real hard with hard drugs. I've decided it's time
meth.
To just take hard
just get the
drugs.
Meth.
Oh,
yeah. There you go.
Just straight into the veins. No, I'm taking prescribed allergy medication.
Straight into the veins.
Finally.
Yes.
Straight into the veins. Actually, literally straight on my nose.
Yeah. Is it like those little...
It's a nasal spray.
Yeah. Your nose with a rubber hose.
Oh, you guys, I feel like I have my life back. It really is amazing. But
fantastic.
It's not 100%, so I'm going to be a little bit here and there. Apologies. And sorry, Dave, for having to deal with that editing, etc.
Right. Slight tangent. I was in Gastown today, and I saw a well-built white gentleman, quite handsome, in a full business suit with one hell of a Coke nail.
Interesting.
And I was just like,
also gross.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like that's
it was
like,
it was
not uncommon.
It was
but
like
a little better hidden these days.
Yeah. I mean, usually if you have like what some would consider a Fortune 500 job, and there's such things as a telephoto lens and like a morality clause in your contract, you would just use a key, like.
Right?
Every other.
So I mean, you'd be better.
21-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, or yeah, just get someone on your keychain or a fucking necklace or something.
Or
the rest of
or
us.
Or you make.
Or you get a little tiny vial. Yeah.
Like, you have a six-figure income. You can have like a whole contraption situation.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen movies.
Yeah, but they're in movies.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's gross.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, old that's a nice suit. You have a nice butt. Oh,
oh God, what's that?
Now. No, not old. Probably like mid 30s.
Right.
Not old at all.
Gross. No, I don't care for that.
I'm okay. No.
Other than that, what else is going on? Other than coke nails.
Other than spotting coke nails. 20 paces. Yeah, we've been busy. Not too much. I've had a hell of a week. I threw out my back.
Mm.
I busted a tire. Dealt with some dog sickness, which I will spare you all the details from. And then trying to clean up the dog sickness with the sore back. It's a good time. And the drugs aren't working. So I did manage to find an emergency chiropractor, and I would want to marry her now because she is my god. And I will worship her forever because it was fucking magic.
We're currently building a shrine to her in the podcast.
Yes. Yes. Vivian, Dr. Vivian Chu, I love you. So that was fun. Woke up on Saturday morning, or Sunday morning, it was Saturday. I was rolling over in the middle of the night, and I'm like, oh, that doesn't feel good. And then I went back to sleep, and then I woke up, and I was like, oh, I'm fucked. And I'm like Googling, chiropractor open at open Sundays, 7 o'clock in the morning. Got right in there. She did some sweet chiropractic magic. I don't completely understand how chiropractic care works.
Did something crack?
Oh, 100%. And she had this cooling cream and this like pressure points. Like it hurt so good. Yeah. Oh boy. And I've been doing chiropractic care for a long time, and it actually is really helpful to me. And I've gotten off the regular schedule. I would go every 2 weeks for the longest time for like years. And then I haven't been able to go since January. And then I haven't been able to exercise. Have like all my one exercise class a week I haven't been able to make for like the last month. And it's been building. And then my body was like, you need to do something about this. And now I'm trying to do something about it, but it's great.
That's what I was going to talk about too. Is like, because I have a real job that is full-time and has proper benefits, like good ones, generous ones.
Yes.
Beyond just your basic coverage that you get.
Ooh, you get an eye test.
Like, beyond choosing between
getting your teeth cleaned eyes checked. Yeah.
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 You got to choose which one you need more.
Yeah, it's either me or my husband. One of us can do it, but not both. Who's going to be?
Trust. Your turn this year.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been
even numbered years and I get odd numbered years.
So I've been going to get, I've only been twice, but I've been getting every 2 weeks I'm going for a massage. I have to book my next one.
Beautiful.
But it's that hurts so good kind of thing. But the more I go, the more I realize how desperately I have needed this.
Yeah.
Like my RMT is actually a friend of mine. And she's like, oh my God. Like,
yes,
this is really tight. I'm like, yeah, I know. She's like, this is a lot. I was like, yeah,
this is my life now.
I haven't really gone.
It's amazing how much you realize you're not, like how much of it you're just carrying around with you and dealing with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're just making accommodations, or you're altering how you move in the world, or the clothes you wear, or whatever you decide to do. You just this is just my body and this is how it works. Evan, you're familiar with, you just figure it out. And then when you get it, that's the thing. Like I had it after I did chiropractic treatments in my 20s for a little bit, and then I got it after I had my first kid because she fucked up my tailbone. Like I couldn't sit for like a year without it being super painful, and I had regular chiropractic treatments after that with a woman who knows pregnant women with kids, like a specialty, and then I just haven't made time for it, and my body's letting me know it's not cool. And then I saw this lady, and she's like oh, I sat with my back facing her. And she's like, oh, your ears are unequal. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm holding my body all fucked up because the right side of my arm, like my right side of my body is like not operating. Like I literally had to drive like one armed to the apartment because my right arm was just like dead weight. And then she just like beep, bop, booped and pressured. And I know the feeling of what it can feel like when it works. And like, so she's like, you're an experienced patient. Like, you know what the deal is. So you can tell me. Like, she touched, like, one of my trapezius muscles, which is the one that connects your head to your shoulder. And it, like, crunched.
I have a
bit squeezed,
of that.
Yeah, she squeezed the left side. And she's like, yeah, this is what it's supposed to feel like. And then she tried to squeeze the other side. And I was so tense. You just, like, the energy that it was using to be tense.
Yeah, I have that.
Was unreal.
Yeah.
And then once it's gone, you're like, this is what my body's supposed to feel like.
Yeah. She's same with me. She's like, on the right side, she's like, oh, this is like it's sort of like that, almost like grinding underneath. Yes. And I was like, yeah, it's been like that for a while.
And then she goes like in your shoulder.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She goes over to the other and she's like, oh, this is what it's supposed to feel like. This feels great. I was like, yeah.
Is this your cutting hand?
It's the cutting hand. Yeah. It's the chopping writing, hand.
It's the
writing.
Writing.
It's the mouse. Yeah. I think it might be a lot of the mouse.
Just this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the everything. Yeah. I'm useless with my left hand. But.
Me too. It's for like holding things. That's about it.
It's for waving. That's all I can use.
Waving and holding something while I do the real thing with my right hand.
Mm-hmm. I've been in rehearsals a lot and I'm realizing that I can't, when I have to be the person who's being spun or whatever, or doing like, I guess you'd call it a pirouette, but I'm not going to use it. I can do them really easy with my right arm, but the left arm, I'm just like trying to like go where my arm socket will not go. And like my, I don't know,
your
it's
brain
just so, my brain can't fathom.
It's like trying to parallel park on the opposite side of the street. That fucks me up every time.
Yeah. That's hard. In the mirror too?
Yeah, you gotta turn, but you're looking the other way. And it's very confusing.
You're like, you know what? I'll just go around. I'll just go around.
Yeah, we'll find somewhere else.
I'll find somewhere else. It'll be all right. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to park here. This is all right.
Just abandon my car here. It's fine. Yeah.
I'm too gay to drive.
There you go. You're too gay to function.
Function in a motor vehicle capacity.
What do you mean you're too gay?
All the gay people are probably laughing.
Oh my God, that's great.
All the gay hags are
having a chuckle.
But it's a joke that like gay people can't drive. It's like a running meme on the internet.
Oh,
interesting.
Really?
This is a new thing for me. Yeah.
There's like a thing. It's like gay people have two of three things: a loving relationship with their father, a driver's license, or positive self body images.
But you can't have all three.
Right.
It's one of those cheap, fast.
Yeah.
Whatever the easy, forget what it is. You can have two of the three, but you can never have three.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's a joke. I mean, obviously, there's probably a lot of gay people who have all of those things, but it's just funny, you know? making light of a...
the cards you've been dealt in
exactly.
Life. Yes.
Of societal norms and pressures, and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I got some shade thrown at me the other day for having an N on the back of my car.
What?
Why?
Some other mom's like, you're an N driver? Like, she was sweet about it, but also I was like, bitch, shut the fuck up.
And for the uninitiated, stands for
novice, right?
Or new driver.
I was trying to think of something. I could think of an N-word. The only N-word I could think of was Neanderthal, which was not as good of a joke.
Yes.
Anyway. You guys, insert your own hilarious word here.
Whatever you feel suits the situation. Anyway,
no, it's not the
go
N-word.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, right. I have not like the N-word.
Absolutely not.
Mind you,
isn't it new driver?
It is new driver. Part of. Now that I've said that, I learned this week that you could pop a tire by parking too close to the curb.
Oh, is that one?
Didn't
of
know
the
that was
learned?
A thing that could happen, yeah. And then it happened.
Were you guys in the car when it happened?
It was me and Poppy in the car.
Yeah.
And I was pulling up in front of our house, and my tire kissed the curb, and I said, "Okay, great, I'm going to turn now." But I was too close, and the pressure, and I heard something, but I thought I drove over a stick or something. Like, it didn't be like, oh, fuck.
It wasn't like a super loud.
No. And then as I'm getting Poppy out of the car, I can just hear a
no.
And then I look at the front passenger side and it's on its rim. It's like a cartoon flat tire. And I call Dave and I'm like, Dave, I busted the cart. I'm sorry. And then also, can you go pick up Margo? Because I can't. Because the car is like, I'm sorry. You have to leave work an hour and a half early now to go drive. Okay, sorry. But we did have to replace all the tires. That was good.
Yeah.
And I told Dave, I'm like, I'm 100% on the hook for the cost of this. Like,
do you have AMA or BCAA, I mean?
Sure, they come and change the tire for us, but I need to pay for a new tire.
They can't patch it? It's not a patchable?
Nope.
Oh, no.
So it's big old tires today. Got a new tire. Took 10 minutes. $200. What are you going to do?
That's a stinger when you're like, nah, I fucked it. Uh-huh. This was me.
But I also did it. As a new driver, I've gotten some parking tickets before. Those don't count. But I've never damaged anything. I've never gotten an accident. I've never hit anybody or anything. I've never gotten a speeding ticket. I've never gotten anything. So if this is my initiation to doing something stupid,
pretty good.
It is all on me,
mm-hmm.
And it's
no casualties.
Fixable, no casualties.
And you don't have to talk to strangers either.
That's fine. And Dave dealt with it. I did have to go to the tire place today, mm-hmm. But it took 10 minutes and it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's my lesson.
Anyway, You guys, fashion is so glamorous.
Yeah, totally. We should get on some fashion stuff. Oh, boy.
So we are going to talk today about a thing that is happening in a big way, I feel like, and it's sort of countering this online e-commerce, social media, e-com boom that's happening, and that is experiential stores. It's making the experience of going to a brick and mortar location more of an experience.
Interesting,
more
different, unique.
Put a cafe in there, see what happens. So it's not just going to buy a pair of shoes and then paying your money and then leaving. Yeah. It's going to a store. Maybe you go with your friends and you check it out and you get a cup of coffee and they have a DJ that night. So you come back and you, or you take a class, like whatever, it depends on the stores. And there's lots of examples of different ways that it's being employed, but it's an interesting sort of counter to the quick, easy convenience of online shopping.
Yes.
And shopping even on social media.
And it's an interesting pendulum swing also because 2017, 2018, retail spaces were dying.
Yeah, big time. Mm.
People were closing stores. Companies were going bankrupt. People were rethinking their actual physical space in the world. And a lot of it was just retraction and, you know, atrophy, right? And then this is an interesting twist on that and trying to use these spaces in a more interesting real life way. You just took it for granted that that's how you bought sneakers. You went to Foot Locker and you bought sneakers and you went home because that was literally the only choice you had. Whereas now Foot Locker's got to be a little bit, or whatever, the Bob's or Dick's or what, Dick's Goods or whatever it is.
Sporting goods.
Yeah. You know, these sorts of stores are now having to rethink things. And also having more creativity
and also
and more ideas and youth, you know, more energy. And it's
I also
exciting.
Think it's interesting that it's sort of countering this online movement, which is sort of, it says that it's a community, the online community. It doesn't exist that way, that you're not interacting with another human face to face.
No.
So it's creating a community space where people will congregate. People will go and socialize.
And talk to other people.
Exactly.
Whether they are fellow customers or employees or whatever.
Or whatever. Maybe everyone is there because the DJ there is really great. And it just happens to be a Nike store that has partnered with a cool
Skrillex.
DJ. Or whoever. I don't know who the hot new DJ is.
I don't know.
So it's a neat, I think it's really interesting to frame it in that way of like, oh, these stores are all closing because online sales are so huge, but there's
and retail spaces are getting expensive and that whole thing too, right?
Yeah, and there's clearly a need for it. So I was looking up a few examples.
We can't only shop online.
No.
That is never going to happen.
No, I don't love shopping online, to be honest.
I like it, but I also like going to stores.
Mm-hmm. I like researching online and then going to the store.
And then maybe then also going back and buying online. Going as, you know, yeah. you have that flexibility now with all these different ways of shopping, of recommendations on social media and Googling and price comparing and going to the store and trying it on. And then what, you know, thinking
and then
about
you
it.
Know, you can buy, if you can go to a store, this is my preference anyway, do a bunch of research because I'm trying to be very selective and very careful how I
yes, being thoughtful, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to be mindful. And so if I can do a bunch of research and then go try a thing on, buy it in store, then I know that if I want to buy it online again, I know the size, I know how I can, I know how it fits, I know all that kind of stuff.
How it fits in your life, how it fits on your body, how it fits in your bank account.
Yeah, exactly. And I can just get another one.
Now I'm going to get them in green. Yeah. Or now I'm going to, you know, now it's got short sleeves. I'll buy the short sleeve one now.
In fact, the
whatever.
Pants I'm wearing right now are a new pair of Everlane wide leg pants. It's my third pair that I have. It's in
I wore my blue pair the other day. It's great.
I have blue. I have a dark blue. I have like a mustardy color and I have these new olive green ones. And I know they fit. I got a size down this time.
You know, the company's cool. You know,
Yeah.
They have a new color for you. Then
I'll take it.
You're good.
Yeah.
Please take my $68.
Take my money.
Yeah.
Also, they were on sale that one time. And I was like, Olivia, we need these. Yeah. I'm placing an order. Olivia's boyfriend lives in the States. So we order them to the States. She goes down every six weeks or so.
Sweet.
Save on that
shipping. They did get better shipping now. Everlane does have better shipping.
They do have better
Canada,
shipping.
But still, if you can avoid it.
If you can avoid it, get the free shipping.
Hells to the yes.
Do that. Especially she's already going down there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, it just makes sense. You're being smart.
So I'm going to ask you guys for the most, like, name one experiential store that's been around for a long time. There's one that
we like the Apple know. Store? Is like an experiential
longer,
store?
Longer than the longer Apple than Store.
That. Toys R Us.
That's not an experience. I mean,
the one with the Ferris wheel inside of it.
It's an experience?
Yes.
But
I mean, I'm talking about the Times Square one with the Ferris wheel.
Oh,
and like,
sure.
That whole situation.
No, longer oh. than that.
I don't know.
You guys are going to kick yourselves. IKEA.
Mm.
I guess it's different
IKEA
than any other store.
IKEA is the OG experiential store. There's a cafeteria. You can get booze. You can
small
get
land.
Food.
Your fucking ballroom
you
for
can
your,
leave
kids.
Your kids. You can sit in
walk
all
into
kinds
a
living of
room.
Living rooms
yeah.
and
you
bedrooms.
You can see the setup rooms. You can see the furniture.
When I was doing this research, I was like, oh my God, yeah. of course.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and even IKEA. Then, IKEA is now doing different things now with smaller spaces and like in metropolitan centers and cities and stuff because you don't have room for a giant IKEA in, you know,
downtown New York.
Downtown New yeah. York. So they're making even different experiential
an IKEA that's specific for small spaces.
Yes.
Maybe. In yeah. in Manhattan.
In a small space.
Yeah.
IKEA also did this
interesting
experiential event, for lack of a better word, where they sort of asked, and I could be wrong about this because I only read one article about it and it wasn't entirely clear how they came up with this concept. I don't know if it came from the customers or if it came from IKEA company. And they asked customers what they would like. But basically, they did a sleepover in IKEA and it was like 100 people. No, oh, are you gonna make it?
Excuse me.
Oh my God.
I was frogging my throat.
Jesus, Abby. Did you get it out?
We're good.
Get that frog.
I'd explain what frog in my throat was to my kid today. I was like,
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's like this big lump in your throat, but they call it a frog, but it's not a frog. And she thought it was hilarious.
It is hilarious.
Let's just go with that. It's funny.
That's funny. Anyway, they did this thing, it was last year or 2 years ago or something, and it was like a giant sleepover. So they had 100 people, it was like a pretty contest sweet. Where you go and you get to like pick your bed, pick your bedding, take the bedding home, presumably, I would hope, and you get to like spend a night in the store at IKEA, which sounds like a
so
nightmare to me.
Fun.
I mean, it sounds fun until like 11 o'clock and then I'm like, goodbye, I want to sleep in my own bed and not in a room full of strangers who
assholes,
I've never met before.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, in a giant room.
Yeah.
That sounds insane. Sounds like prison is what it sounds like.
But you got real cute sheets.
But I got real cute sheets. And it'd be fun to like mingle and like be there after hours and stuff. So they had this whole event. So that was like an experience event in an experiential store. So I think that kind of trend is happening in addition to these new stores. The reason I even brought this topic up was the new Nike store. There's a new Nike experiential store in Chicago.
Oh, I've heard about this.
With Virgil Abloh.
Interesting.
And he's sort of
quotation
the
marks,
architect.
Virgil Abloh.
Behind mm-hmm. this whole thing. Yeah. So he's done this partnership with Nike in this massive, like 30,000 square foot, some insanely huge store.
Holy shit. That's a big investment on Nike. I mean, Virgil Abloh is a pretty known commodity these days. I'm
yes.
a pretty sure bet these
yeah.
days. He's definitely on his way up and he's not going anywhere anytime soon. This is exciting.
Yeah.
And it's a black dude too. Also very exciting.
Also makes sense for Nike.
Yeah.
But
makes
also in Chicago,
him.
Which is
and
Kanye West,
which is like a big time.
Yeah. Interesting. That's a great, that's marketing right there.
Good for them.
Well, that's
and
exactly
they're doing,
what it is.
And Nike's
yeah.
doing other things too with like, queuing up your Apple or your Nike ID with the store and you can shop and it's like a personalized experience. That's another thing. These
and
personalized
the
experiences
yep.
and these memberships and you're not just a random person walking into these stores.
It's
through technology and stuff. They know it's you and they know what you want and they know the styles you've ordered and they know your lifestyle and yada, yada, yada.
It's really smart that they're taking this sort of experiential retail store thing and applying it to the digital experience as well. Because,
yeah.
I mean,
really
it's
cool.
the obvious next step. It's not rocket sure. science.
And they have all this information about you in these Nike IDs,
and they have all
right?
your information. It's insane how much information they have about you and how you shop when you sign up for those memberships.
I'm happy that this is what they're doing with this information.
I mean, I guess.
To my own benefit. I mean, other things they're doing with these information, who knows? Which is problematic. We've talked about that before. But that's very cool that you can
yeah, so the
do that.
One of the things that Nike was doing that was kind of cool was like sort of, it's sort of weird. I mean, it's a smart concept and it's weird. And I'm not sure where it fits, but basically if you, they have a vending machine that only members of the Nike community, I don't know what they're called. I don't know what the fucking thing's called. But if you're a member, if you're like a Nike Elite member or whatever, you can sort of sign in, and only if you have, only if you're a member can you actually order this exclusive stuff that is in a vending machine. So I don't know if these vending machines are like in an airport, or I don't know if they're in this
in the store.
Sure. I think it's separate. But it's sort of this big old billboard for membership plans that only people who are members of this elite club get access to this product that's not available outside of that.
Yeah.
And you can, it's, I mean, it's genius marketing. No matter where you put that vending machine, it's really smart. It's a big sign where you're making money on your sign being there.
And is it interesting for such a brand that's so ubiquitous and perfect? Like, it's everywhere. It's like Coca-Cola. Like, it is literally everywhere, and they're still doing cool shit.
Yeah,
the, finding new ways to get new customers and retain other ones, and good for them.
The yeah, the experiential store that Virgil Abloh did is really. I mean, I didn't know that much about his whole aesthetic. I did a little bit of research, but it's really, hers is really minimal, and it's the big thing about it is it's creating a community and sustainability. So they have,
that's sweet.
They have like a little station where you can go and be a student and design your own pair of Nikes or draw them up and sketch them all out. And there's a whole workshop fabrics and stuff, colors and whatever. I don't know if it's actually like making it or just draw a picture of it. I'm not sure how extensive that is.
Well, you can go online and make your own shoes, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And there's,
I've designed many an Air Max.
Yeah.
On their website.
Take a screenshot.
Yes, please.
All black.
Yes, please. Yeah. Everything's just all black with maybe some rose gold thrown in.
Yeah. Yeah. Different color laces.
Yes.
Yeah.
But never mind, black laces.
Yeah.
Never
mind. I did my mind. I knew I was black all along.
What are those metal eaglets on the end of the laces that are rose gold?
Oh, yeah. There's like one little metal thing. The one little area around the air bubble. That's the paint. That's where the rose gold goes in. I don't know how many hours of my life I spent on that website. I haven't actually ordered the pair of shoes yet. What are you going to
do? We'll get there. But speaking of, they also have this big sustainability thing where there's like little confetti bits they have all over the place. And there's like a whole big chopper upper thing. And it's for old Nikes, presumably old shoes, anyway, old running shoes that gets chopped up and used for like it's like graded and used for tennis courts or building furniture or whatever, like whatever it is. So on this article that I read, the guy who was there for like a press event or a press day, it was a preview. So it has a counter of the number of shoes that go in it that and get recycled and, you know, chopped up. And it was at 2 because the store was so new. So it was like, you can kind of count it as it goes along, which is a cool concept. I hope they're actually doing something with it and not just using it as a billboard. But who knows? I mean, stranger things have happened, but it's a neat example of how those kinds of things can happen. Lululemon actually is opening a new one, a big experiential store in Chicago as well in July.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All the places.
Yeah. I thought Chicago would be kind of a weird.
I mean, it's a huge cosmopolitan city. Yeah. It's existed for, 200 years, but
they have like.
It's not the one you go to when you think of.
No, I know.
Big city.
I don't know, maybe there's, I mean, Chicago's a cool city, but yeah, I would think like LA would be the first place I would think that there would be one for Lululemon.
I'm sure there's all these analytics and market research and everything that's being done so that Chicago's a new hotspot. Yeah.
Well, Chicago's also the place for the Nike one. So
well, then there's
a lot going on there. But their whole thing is like, mindfulness and fitness. And so they have studios for fitness classes and they have classes like 6 to 10 classes a day, according to this one article. They have like, where are my notes on this? I wrote it all down. Oh, they have like cafeteria or restaurant, I forget which, but like smoothies and breakfast bowls and juices and all that kind of healthy shit and whatever.
All that healthy
shit. And
a acai bowl and a poke bowl.
Yeah. And, you know, meditation room, all that kind of stuff. In addition to, obviously, a store. There's obviously a store in all these places. But it's this massive.
That's interesting.
Yeah. yeah, it's a huge, huge thing.
That's really cool. I mean, people are looking for more, right? And new.
Definitely.
Does that make sense?
There was just one in, I don't know if you could call it as, I guess, a pop-up. It was sort of a pop-up. But the Vans Off the Wall just did a big thing at Harbor Center here. There was another one.
Yeah, I saw. It was like a big weekend party.
Yeah, there was like another
convention,
one,
essentially.
The House of Vans in wherever the hell they've done it before. Oh, there was the one that I was reading about was in London.
Yeah.
And they built skate ramps. And
they were doing skate classes for like kids and other people, like girls and stuff. Or like, I had a couple of friends who sent their kids, their 5-year-old or 6-year-old kids, to go take skateboarding classes at this thing. And then they hung out all day and it was a big thing. And there was food and entertainment. And
that's the thing. It's, you hang out all day. And especially for like
skate culture. And you buy a bunch of product and you go home.
Yeah. Like for skate culture and probably for like street culture and the Nike one. And probably for whatever you want to call the culture of Lululemon.
Sure. Athleisure.
Athleisure. Mm-hmm. It's creating that community, which those kind, like if you just pop into a Nike store, buy a pair of shoes, you're not going to get that same thing.
Yeah.
Or if you pop into the Bay or Nordstrom's and buy a pair of Nikes, you're not going to get that same thing. It's not going to be the same. Obviously.
Yeah.
So
it's an interesting way because these communities, in quotation marks, are being built and have been for the past few years online. We're all part of them. Everybody's got some, except for my husband, Dave, who's not involved in any group chats, which he's talked about on many occasions. So he's not interested in it. He's not interested in being included. But it's interesting that they're trying to then recreate that in real life.
Well, I mean, because
you are connecting with people who have similar interests, right? You both love Nike. You both run or CrossFit or whatever.
And the House of Vans one is like, that's a whole culture. Like skate culture is a whole culture.
It has already existed. It is entrenched. It is well, you know, founded. And there's multiple generations of people that are taking part of it.
And it's a very specific tribe.
Yes.
It's a very, like you say, established culture.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's not even a counterculture anymore, a subculture. It's just a straight up.
It's there.
Part of the world. That's interesting that you can now have that in real life again.
Yeah.
It used to happen in real life, and then it stopped, and it happens on your phone, and then now people are trying to make it happen.
Well, that's how those brands grew in the first place. Like, that's how Vans grew in the first place. All those little skate brands
and stuff. It's just because your friends had them, or you knew somebody, or, you know, or they had an event, and you got some swag, and then you bought stuff from them.
Like Vans, I don't know the Vans brand itself, but like skate shoes were deck shoes that surfers used to wear.
Yeah.
Because that's
the rubbery bottom and they lived
on the boats, you know, like, or they lived near the boats and were fishermen or on the boats for X, Y, or Z. So, and they had the best grip.
Surf culture too, right? With all marine and stuff.
So it's cool that, and it's also cool too with that one in particular, because that sort of demographic is now old enough to have kids. And they want to see their kids participate in a culture that was obviously informative and important to them. So they get the sneakers and they get the, you know, the checkered stripes and all that kind of shit. And and it's super cute.
The people who are our peers, they're the second generation.
Totally.
You know, like, so then our kids are like the third or fourth generation of people who have been really into it. So that's interesting. That's fun.
Totally.
That's really cool to see.
And that just like speaks to how marketing teams sit together and just be like, "Hey, this was our original client, and then our client became this, and now
how
can
we
get their kids and their
and what do we need to do now that it's 2019 or whatever? And how can they
basically need to have a pop up department store with a full on like a department store plus an amusement park plus a nightclub altogether
and food
and a
restaurant, a cafe or a food truck,
food court,
yeah,
you know." Basically, have to put a branded mall into just a store. It's like the expectation of what is going to drive people into a store has to like keep up with the convenience of online shopping.
Because people are not going to stop online
shopping. Yeah.
Yes.
So you have to create.
You have to find a way to make them do both.
Yeah.
And make it happen. And that means not just a regular, this whole thing, right?
Well, you look at like even Chapters
and the demise of mall culture.
Yeah.
In itself, too, right? You can't just go to the mall and get all of that, like you said, and get it all because malls don't, it's not the same.
It's not the same. And it's the socializing and the community thing that is what people are looking for.
The driver. Yeah.
Which I think is the most interesting part when you look at like the quote unquote online community. Well, it's not. It doesn't exist.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. You can't, I mean, you can call it a community, but it's only because you don't have a better word for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all that means. But like you look at Starbucks and Chapters or those big bookstores that put coffee shops in there, like that's an experiential store. That's it's evolved a mm-hmm. little bit differently, but that's the same thing.
And it's been around long enough that that particular combination is very
commonplace.
Nowadays, right? We're like, yeah, you're going to get a coffee and grab a magazine. And it's a joke that people have dates at Barnes and Noble and you just go read magazines and have a coffee, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's been going on for so long that like your moms and dad are doing it.
And now I think there's a whole craft beer thing happening where like tasting rooms are sort of an experiential thing now too. It's not the same, and obviously it's a different, it's not fashion related, but it's definitely adjacent.
It's still a product that they're trying to sell to you and make you come into their space to do it. You're not going to a liquor store. I mean, you can't order booze online, at least you can't here.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Uber Eats.
You can order booze, though.
Yeah, you can.
You can?
Yeah, it's really expensive. It's like $30 for a shit bottle of wine.
Oh.
But if you're in the bind and it's Christmas Day.
And if you're real, you're really needing it.
Yeah.
Worth the price. But that's very interesting because I know there's even things like, and craft beer is a huge deal here in Vancouver.
Yeah.
It's only getting bigger. The laws have changed for tasting rooms. You know, you can allow to have them because, again, we have these crazy archaic alcohol laws here in Vancouver specifically.
Left over from the gold rush.
She's left over from literally the gold rush, and they haven't been changed since. But yeah, even like local breweries that are working with food vendors and making T-shirts and art shows and how many, and I've been to art shows, concerts, open mics, like all these things that now exist in these breweries to get you into their space and separate you from your money.
And they lots of them all have merch as well.
Yes.
They all have the sweatshirt and the cap and the hat, and maybe they have a
koozie or whatever. Yeah.
A tote.
Totally. Or they'll have, like, there's one in particular, Strathcona Brewing, which is one of my favorites because they have the best fucking pizza in the city. But they have a whole little retail space, and they have a little, like, gallery space, and every month it's a new,
they switch it out to somebody
something.
New.
And, it's a new collab or it's a new whatever. There's also, I forget where this place is, but Beer Wolf Books is this experiential store, for lack of a better word. But it's basically a bookstore that has beer. So you just sub out the coffee situation and it's a beer. So
it's,
you can browse books and buy books
sweet.
And
hang out.
Have a date, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's the next evolution of what...
Or have authors come in and do readings too,
right?
And have that be an experience too. I mean, that's one that's been around forever and ever. People, you know, authors and stuff doing readings of books, but now you can get alcohol.
And I get a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meet really like-minded people.
Because the chances are, I mean, the markup on draft beer is next level. So chances are, if you can get a room full of people to come in and listen to a person, or if you get a room full of people to come and have a beer,
yes,
maybe 10% of those people buy a book, but they're also going to buy that
night.
Beer.
That's a good night.
And they're going to buy that beer, and you're going to make money off of that beer. And then people are going to walk by that store and see, oh, there's tons of people in there. What's going on? Let's go check it out.
Yeah.
So then they come in, and they maybe don't want
to
book.
And you post about it on Instagram, and you use the hashtag. Right? Oh, what's going on?
And then, oh, this is cute. I'll get a Stein from the bookstore that's so cute.
Oh, my God.
Remember
God.
That time?
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's $6 for a mug. So I'll get the beer mug and whatever.
And then 20 people do that, and that's a good night.
Yeah. And so even if you're selling... 10% of your sales are actually on the books, you're still making money and you're still building a brand.
Yeah, you're paying your overhead and getting your name out there.
It's just on a smaller scale.
Yeah, it's win-win. Win-win-win.
Win-win-win. Yeah, the merch thing is, I always find interesting that, especially with like these breweries and these smaller like startup, even some of the cooler like coffee shops and stuff have a sweatshirt or a t-shirt, or a cool pizza place has a sweatshirt or a t-shirt or a
tote
ball
bags.
Cap or whatever.
Yes.
Tote bags, yeah.
Mm.
But that's the same thing. That's part of the experience of going to a cool little something. You're not going to go to the Keg and buy a t-shirt.
No.
From the Keg. That's not happening. You're not going to get a shirt from Red Lobster.
Oh, but I would.
You know?
Oh, but I would.
Would you?
Would if you could.
Dave would, absolutely.
Why?
Would 100% get one. Dave talked about how
he likes
weird merch from like a sweatshirt that says Toshiba.
What?
Like, Dave is fascinated by this.
Like a dad?
Yes.
Like a dad situation?
Yes. And the
I guess
but
he's
like
a dad now.
Unironically appreciating, you know.
Toshiba, that's a really funny example. I feel like that one's come up before.
Uh-huh. It's a thing. Yeah.
Or like, or like the old Kodak logo, I can imagine, Dave.
The fucking the one, DHL.
The Kodak Venmo. Logo that used to be on like cassette tapes that you would buy blank tapes.
A friend of mine has the fucking sweetest Cheetos sweatshirt.
Okay, that it's I'm on board with.
Amazing. She found it on eBay and she was like, I don't know if I want to buy this shirt. And all of us are like, yeah, you're going to spend $50 on this fucking Cheeto sweatshirt. And you're going to post a picture every time you wear it. And we are all going to like it. So buy the fucking shirt, Stacey. Thank you very much for all of us. Well, that's the thing, too. Oh, Evan's chair is
farting like crazy.
Well, that whole, oh, I'm going to take a picture of myself here.
Yeah.
I was thinking of this Glossier, which was online only, now has stores and one very specific store in Los Angeles that has, I don't know if you've seen pictures of it. I know you're not all, I know you're, Evan, you're more into makeup.
I love beauty. Is,
but they have a specific area in the store where you take a picture of yourself. And they have this weird, like, it looks like some, like a gorge carved in the in stone with a big mirror at the end with the Glossier logo in it. And you stand there and you don't look like you're in the store. You look like you're in this weird, like, rocky area. And you take a picture and you tag them. You put the hashtag
with your new beat.
With your new beat, your new highlighter, whatever.
This product, yeah.
And then everybody goes, oh my God, where are you? Oh,
yeah.
Yay, have a new store. Check it out. Boy brow, blah, 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 blah. That's a huge thing.
That's like, that reminds me of that.
Or they have those walls, like the picture walls,
right? I was going to say that pink wall in LA at the, what store is it? I want to say Paul Frank, but that's absolutely not wrong. I mean, not right.
Ben anyway. Sherman?
Yes, thank you. I think it's Ben Sherman. On Melrose.
Something adjacent to Paul Frank.
Yes. You have a specific area where a cool thing, cool backdrop or interesting thing where you go get your picture taken.
Yeah.
That you were in this experience and you had it and then you're sharing it and enticing other people to.
Who are taking the picture? And then the wall itself becomes famous.
Then
people want to go to the store where the wall is and then maybe they'll go up and down the whole street.
Yeah. And it spreads.
People are sheep.
Very easily convinced to follow someone else who's already been there and done that.
Especially if they have a K at the end of their follower count.
Yes, please. Oh, well. Hmm. Another thing I was thinking of was these Amazon stores where you don't pay. Or, quote, don't pay.
Explain this to me.
Where you just walk in, you fill your basket, and then you just leave. And there are...
Did it like scan it?
Yes. There is some sort of technology in the store where you put it in your basket. I think it's an Amazon Go thing where it's like a grocery store specifically where you go and you fill your basket and then there's something with the sensors. I don't know where they are in the store, in the door or wherever. And it recognizes your phone so it knows your account.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
And then there's no cashiers. There's no self-checkout. There's nothing. You just pick your stuff up and then it is billed to your account.
You pick it up and you walk out.
Yes, you literally walk in the store, get it, and leave. And you don't...
No, I don't like it.
I do love the idea of not having to talk to another human.
Self-checkout then.
Yes.
Oh, it just makes me cringe to think of how much information Amazon has and how much money. Don't go to Amazon. Amazon is the worst. Jeff Bezos can S a D.
He can S the entire planet.
You know what? S a D until you start paying fucking taxes.
Jesus Christ.
I have such a... hate on for Amazon
specifically. Absolutely.
He hasn't paid taxes.
No,
the company doesn't.
Zero taxes. $0 because they get billionaire loopholes. They're contributing, quote, to the economy.
I feel like I knew this, but I repressed it because the amount of rage.
It's just so terrible.
With.
Yeah.
No, Amazon hasn't paid taxes. They don't pay taxes.
But Amazon aside, like this whole
like a church thing,
like even Apple Pay, like.
I don't trust that.
A bit.
I don't trust that.
Where you just tap your phone or like just wave your phone over a machine and you just walk away.
Because this is what happens when you lose your phone. Someone can like liquidate your bank account.
Go buy a Lamborghini.
Find out where you live.
Yeah.
Get all of the numbers to your friends and your family members. It's terrifying. We're walking around with like basically our life in the palm of our hands.
Yeah.
I do not need to have my money tied to this thing that already has the rest of my life and my career inside of it. And all my nudes.
I mean,
on top of that,
your precious
how
nudes.
Dare you, people pay good money for those nudes.
But I'm interested to see because I know even like it's not the same thing, but like hairdressers who take Venmo
Yeah.
You know? Mm. Like, you don't pay her. You either prepay, if you're smart, and you've been burned before, mm-hmm. you're the hairdresser, you prepay this shit. Or, like, oh, I'm going to just PayPal you later. And that's, like, legitimate, like, business thing. It's not like, oh, I owe you $50. I'm going to PayPal you the money or whatever. You buy concert tickets. I'm going to pay you back. It's like, no, this is an actual service or product that you're exchanging for, and you're just paying for, you know, in the ether.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm interested to see what that's going to look like in the future with the advent of Apple Watches and the Apple phone and whatever other Google, I'm sure, has an equivalent. If there's no actual money or like traditional banking being used. Bitcoin.
Weird. It just freaks me out. So every once in a while, I just have to use cash because like this I understand.
Yes.
I feel like I feel like I'm on the run when I pay with cash.
Yeah,
I'm like, you know, hiding. I'm not traceable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm hiding this.
Yeah.
Dave will never know.
Although I'm such a murderino that when I use my bank account, I'm like, or I use my credit card, I'm like, well, they'll know where I
last
used my
they'll know it's 606. I was still alive at Safeway.
Yeah.
When I was buying pickles. Yeah.
You have a paper trail? Able to see
the pickles and the extra cupcakes. I bought the boat.
I'll be on the CCTV. Visa will have my records. Fine.
All of that information is confirmed.
Fine. Oh, man.
Oh, that very much ties into my obsession, but we don't need to talk about that right now.
TBD. I was trying to think of any other, like there's so many now. I mean, it's not the newest thing, but it's turning into a big deal about, like, even, like, Nordstrom Cafe.
I was going to say, right?
The whole rent-free lunch or whatever. Like, you go to Fred Siegel's for lunch. You don't go to Fred Siegel's shop.
It might be Fred Siegel in LA.
Yeah, maybe. You go to Fred Siegel to have lunch. Like, you have a business meeting there.
Yeah.
It's become more than that. The coffee bar at the Nordstrom here is actually really good. I get coffee there sometimes.
I really like the restaurant at Nordstrom. It has the best view of the city downtown.
They do a lovely dolce de leche.
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Although the prices have gone up, so my
it's part of your experience. Glass of cider, yeah.
What would we consider like the pop-in space at Nordstrom? I think that makes it a bit more experiential because it's not always the same thing. You know, that's not the, you know, when you walk into Nordstrom, okay, the Alexander Wang section is here next to this. Yeah. You know, the mm-hmm. McQueen shop is in the back.
Yeah.
You know, next to Stella.
Yeah.
And then Victoria Beckham and Ellery and all these other like pop-up, like new brands that kind of are in that vibe are all together. Mm-hmm. But then when you go to the pop-in section, it can be everything from like Mexican handicrafts.
I was going to say, I saw the Mexican one to the Everlane one.
To Everlane.
To the candy one.
Then there was, then there's that one, which is just like.
Just like gummy. The fun, one, Sugarfina.
Fun
just,
tech things for summer.
Yeah.
You know, like a speaker that can go to the beach that if you get sand in it, it doesn't matter. Or you can't get sand in it.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
It's a new.
Solar powered.
It's like elevated visual merchandising, right? Where you're not just trying to make like a little vignette or a little area where you're like, okay, this is going to be our flamingos and pineapples area or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you have a designated space that you have designated brands that not only are they already curated because you're in your store and the buyers have specifically chosen, but they are now in a specific area with a very distinct vibe and merchandising and visual, you know, mm-hmm. and music and whatever else that they can put in this one little area inside an already existing store. Yeah. And it's a separate thing. I mean, those have already existed too, especially in like the higher end, like the Chanel boutique and the Dolce & Gabbana boutique and stuff that are always in the higher end department stores.
But I would argue that
this is more accessible and this is a different version of that.
Yeah. And I would argue that for those higher end stores, you're paying a shitload of money, so you better be getting something that's beyond.
And those people better know about the product that you're selling me.
Yeah.
And it's not just some Yahoo who just is in a different area every shift and they just sell you whatever.
Right.
It's like, no, I want the Chanel expert to tell me which.
Someone on a rotating roster.
Yes. I want the Chanel person to tell me which purse I need to buy or whatever.
Yeah. Or someone who knows exactly what the techniques are on this, blah, 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 blah.
So yes, you can talk to you history about, and the takeaway, mm-hmm. production and stuff.
The what's it called? It's called the 3.1 bag, a 3.11 bag.
I thought it was the 2 something.
2. Who knows?
Anyway, the little quilted one that's beautiful.
Mm. The Chanel one.
Yes, $10,000.
Isn't it the 255?
Maybe it's the 255.
Yeah, you're right.
It's February
because it's 2 centimeters, 0.55 millimeters between each
quilt.
I think that's why they call it.
And then the chain, and then the burgundy lining, and yada, yada, yada.
The room for the love note, is that in that one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah, so like I want to know. And I guess that's the experiential thing too, is like having, I know staff training and brand, you know, having brands go in and train the staff on specific, you're in a department store with 300 other brands.
Mm-hmm.
You better know what the fuck you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Especially at that higher price point. You go to Old Navy, whatever, you buy a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Has it got a head hole and arm holes? Yeah, you're fine.
I think it's interesting that like malls are dying, but the higher end, like luxury department store is not
going anywhere. Yeah. They're kind of crappier filling that void.
Department stores are kind of dying.
Like, yeah, Sears is gone and whatever. Eaton's died years ago and Sears and Zellers is gone.
It can only speak for Canada. I don't know what it
is. Maybe it just is.
Talk about the States. But
like Macy's are closing stores and, you know, all that stuff's. It's interesting because I was also reading that the demise, that after the, all the last couple of years where the retail bottom just fell out of shopping and clothing specifically in retail spaces, it got too expensive, the companies are losing money, that now retail space in malls is cheap or cheaper. So now people are having an opportunity to rethink the mall model because we do have these, like the physical infrastructure of the mall still exists. These big buildings exist and either they're going to be shut down and turned into condos like everything else, or they can be redesigned and, and retrofitted for something new.
There's and something I'm interested to be said. Yeah, there's something to be said for malls, especially when climate is a problem.
Yes, if we're all living indoors by 2050.
Or, right now, and it gets to be minus 30 for a week at a time in Winnipeg or in Alberta.
And then it's plus 40
in the summer.
Months at a time.
Yeah. So that, I think there's definitely, I don't think malls are going away forever, but I think you're right. They need to have
they need to be rethought about.
I think along with this resurgence in like 90s style,
the mall experience
is going to come along with it. Somehow it's probably going to be on the tail end of the trend
now.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I went to Metrotown and I fucking hate Metrotown. I worked there for 3 years. Not I wasn't there all the time, but my job, I traveled around the GVA, the Greater Vancouver area, and worked.
Metrotown is a huge fucking mall. It was massive. Two monster malls that now are a super monster mall.
They call it Metropolis at Metrotown. Yes. But I don't know. I had a cute moment. Like, I feel like Metrotown has, like, there's cuter stores and like
they're doing things with the common areas.
Exactly. Like, there's more like sitting areas and they've done like a beautification and there's a lot of like green space in the mall now. And
they put the TVs in for the board shoppers and the kids. They put the video games up.
Like the areas for the kids having a tantrum and the dads or whatever, or the grandparents who need to
hold all the bags.
Those are like more accommodating. And
it's
also
not just
like
hard weird benches randomly spaced throughout the mall. It's like an actual area where you can grab a coffee,
lounge, like a sofa.
It's nice.
And there's also like,
and then you go to Lids and you go to Claire's and you go to the Gap.
You go to Sephora. You go to NYX.
I go to Muji.
Yes.
You go to Uniqlo. Oh,
Muji is kind of experiential.
It's definitely its
very
own
much
thing.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's like the coffee bar in there. There's the embroidery. You can get all your shit embroidered.
Yes.
Which is cute.
Mm-hmm.
The stamps. You can get custom made stamps there. Ooh. All of the stationery.
I just bought some pens at Muji. Ooh, they're good pens.
You can like custom blend your own scents to put in like
the little diffusers.
A diffuser.
Ooh la la. Yeah.
That's a whole experience.
It's not unlike those bigger bookstores too.
Yeah.
That I'm sure not ironically moved down the street as well in that big retail space on Robson, which is a big shopping area that is dying right now.
Yeah, it's empty.
Except for the last store that opened up there was this huge Indigo. And it's massive and it has all these different little pods. There's a little kids pod with a little play area. And there's the, the game section. There's a Starbucks. There's the kitchen and homeware section. There's, there's
all your fuzzy socks and mugs.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like it's that the sort of concept of experiential stores has never not been around.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting more attention.
It's more deliberate now.
It's more deliberate. It's more.
And also the expectation
calculated.
Of the customer has changed.
Yes. Sorry,
we're talking over each other.
Trying to not talk over each other. It's really hard.
But when we all feel very strongly about something, we need to get it out.
Mm.
And I'm a person, if I don't talk, it'll just go.
Yeah.
You know, fine. Like my brain is so compartmentalized between all four of my different careers. Like I can't even. Career as a podcaster, a dancer, public speaking, fashion, business owner.
Oh, 21st century lady.
Yes. Riddle me this. This is some, like, riddle me this. The death of the mall has kind of coincided with this bridging of the gap between middle class and upper class. So as people are accumulating more wealth and they perceive themselves to be in a higher class, maybe if they actually aren't, because people are buying a lot of shit on credit with money they don't have.
I was going to say, and the cost of living is increasing.
And cost of living
quicker
is increasing.
Than the
but also
the salaries are increasing.
It's that whole thing of keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you move into this new neighborhood and you see next door that you're, like, you see the neighbor walk in with all of her Nordstrom bags, you know, you don't want to walk in with your Forever 21 bags.
Mm.
You know, like, it's even though, I don't know, it's just like that experience of going to the mall is not the same as going to Ho Rin Fru, obviously. And again, as people, like, move up in social status, maybe they want to go to all of those things that they've always aspired to. So like as
that draw is like, there,
as that gap closes, people would rather, even if they're at the lower upper class where they maybe shouldn't be shopping in Nordstrom for everything, they're still going to do it anyways because to maintain their airs, you know, to put on their airs and maintain the facade of wealth
and take a picture of it and post about it.
Exactly. It all feeds into one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm planning my my rollout for my new collection and all the taglines and all the shit that's going to go on Instagram. And
oh,
just like,
sure.
You know, like it works from the smallest scale brand to made Nike. To order.
Yeah.
Up to
behemoths.
The behemoths and the gargantuan super, you know, big box buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that there is a element of privilege with all of this.
Oh, 100%.
Because people aren't walking into Nordstrom. I think there's an intimidation for sure with those kinds of places.
To quote Miss Anna Wintour, I think people are intimidated by fashion.
Yeah. I wonder who got that way, Anna Wintour, you cold bitch. You cold, haughty bitch.
All because her father wasn't proud of her. She needed to put on a...
She needed to overcompensate.
Overcompensate. Anyway. And become a very powerful woman.
Oh, we all have our baggage. Even Anna Wintour.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, God, imagine like an upper class white British upbringing.
Ooh. Man.
No, thank you. I'd much rather be a half breed from the middle of nowhere in Manitoba.
Seriously.
With no expectation for success, for wealth accumulation at all.
Right.
There you go.
Thank you.
Lower those standards.
Yeah. Well, you're already, how old are you? You don't have any kids. You're already failing.
Yeah.
Right? Am I failing or am I succeeding?
Wait, it depends on which side of the pond you're on.
not to put down my family who's had children young and have had beautiful children who I adore and who are repopulating the Métis Nation and Indigenous Nation, which is only 2% of the population of this country. But yeah, God, can you imagine? Can you imagine me, my self-centered ass, raising a child? God, no, that'd be awful.
That'd be a ride. That'd be a wild ride, my friend.
I need to have a lot of money when I have children. First of all, to have biological children or adopted children. And then
third of all,
to be able to have a nanny to take care of.
Because you're a business lady.
I'm a business woman.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm neither of those things, but I'm with you
still
on that.
Coming
from the gal who has no babies.
No babies.
The alert.
The alert every day. No babies.
Oh, boy. What are you going to do?
I will say it's interesting, speaking of privilege and where this is all coming from, that the Amazon experiential store is an interesting sort of
example
of...
That just feels like the Jetsons to me.
It feels like the Jetsons, but it also feels like, ooh, we got this fancy new way of doing things. Come and participate.
See what it's about.
See what it's about and be fancy and you know,
new,
participate in this, you know, cool new thing that that's happening. But there's no wealth expectation for anyone who shops. Everyone shops on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or everyone has the opportunity to shop. There's no stigma of shopping on Amazon.
No. Yeah.
God, I wish there was.
If you're on food stamps or if you're a billionaire.
You can
and
still.
And everything in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's
getting that Amazon package on their front step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guys, stop buying it from Amazon.
Okay,
this don't do it.
This is the thing I think, if everything's on like some sort of wavelength and it goes to your phone, what's to stop some hacker to sit outside in a van and just get all that,
just data mine
all
that
shit out of those people. You know, get all of their credit cards, their addresses,
and all this information is like, and all this technology is still so proprietary, right? So Amazon can say, "Oh no, we have firewalls or whatever, state of the art, yada 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 yada." And then
try and stop some 24-year-old incel with a crazy IQ who has nothing and but hate motivated. For the world.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't understand, as most people do. I do not understand enough about it. And you could tell me whatever, and I would have to believe you because I am so clueless when it comes to this. Which, on the one hand, is very freeing because you're just like, sweet, you got this, right? On the other hand, is terrifying because you don't got this, right?
It's like, how can you have a car?
Yeah.
Sure, that connects to that thing, and that's how this moves.
When I turn the key,
that's how it works. So I just swipe it here and it will pay you. Great.
Just tap? Not tap? Even just wave my watch?
Great. Yeah.
I just had an aha moment. Is the reason why I don't drive because my Virgo brain will not allow me to participate in something that I don't fully understand? I don't understand the mechanics of a car.
Maybe.
But it's also only because I'm a bad driver.
Only you can answer.
I didn't get mine for years because of a pathological fear of failure. That was mine.
Oh, I
really?
Very that. Yep. Very that. I feel that.
I might fail, so I won't even try.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is like, I'm going to have that on my fucking gravestone.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what astrological sign that applies to, but it me.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just not even going to try it.
Leo Virgo cusp. Okay. So I'm proud and I'm a perfectionist. So that's the worst combination for trying things that are
interesting.
New.
Interesting.
Because I don't want to look stupid and I don't want to do it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting.
Huh.
I don't know. I'm balanced, so I can fucking
figure it out.
I can explain my behavior for everything based on my stupid sign. Oh, I'm balanced. It means I weigh my options and I make a decision.
Informed decision. Yeah,
I think it's all bogus. Anyway,
what are you gonna do?
I drive because I wanted to get the fuck out of town when I was 16. Time to go.
Yeah. I drive because I'm not schlepping two kids on the bus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
That's like 100% of the reason why I started driving. Was like, I'm having kids. I'm not
going to be that person on the bus.
I'm in a position of privilege where I can get driver's license and have a car and not have to be. I joke, but I'm 100% serious that I have done my civic duty by taking transit for 25 years.
Yeah.
I've done now I'm driving everywhere. Now I'm driving to the store. It's fine.
But also we need to shift our onus on greenhouse gas emissions from the individual to the mass.
That's the thing too. It's like,
is Translink doing?
Yes.
Not the individual transit user. What is...
Fucking pipelines.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah, I'm biking. What's that solving? Sweet fuck all. So let's get to it, everybody else.
Let's figure it out.
How about we string up Jeff Bezos by the balls and redistribute his wealth?
Can we please?
Let's do
Truly, nothing would make me happier.
Yeah.
God.
There's a couple of people I'd like to string up by the balls and distribute their wealth.
Yeah. Not even for the wealth part, just string them.
Just on principle. Just for the sheer joy of seeing it.
It's because they fucking deserve it.
You guys, we've been yammering. It's time to move on, isn't it?
Yes.
We stopped talking about experiential stores a while ago.
If you can think of any other experiential stores that you've heard of or been to, we would love to
The first thing that popped into my head was the Prada store in New York.
The staircase.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's less experiential and just more
That's just high-end concept. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's...
And it's also like at this point now, it's also historical. Like,
yeah.
Like the Chanel staircase.
Exactly.
You know? Like it's a historical thing.
I can tell you what. The first thing I thought of was not IKEA. And then I was like, oh, doy. OG. It's the OG
there you
style.
Go. All righty. Well, let's take a break and we'll be back.
To obsess.
Yes.
You guys, it's 9:00. It's time to get this show on the road.
Let's do it. Let's make it happen. We can obsess. Now that we've kind of talked about our topic and many other things, we can talk about the real.
Let's get
the real deal.
The real shit.
Yes. Which is the obsessions. Which we're now learning is like a thing that many other people are doing.
I know. I think we didn't do it first, but we did it first.
Yes. Anyway.
We didn't invent obsessions, but we started. I know,
like Throwing Shade does recommendations of this Great Nation.
Which is part of our inspiration, but they don't do it regularly.
And they didn't do it at the start.
No,
it came later. Way after we started doing ours. Oh.
Anyway, people obsess about things all the time. We just talk about it in microphones at the end of a show in a specific segment called Obsessions.
Hashtag Hag Life. You guys, that's what's happening here. That's what's happening. You're participating in a community.
Like it or not.
Who wants to go first? Does anyone have any heavy ones?
Mine's interesting.
Go on.
It could be heavy, but it's have we talked about Killing Eve on here?
I think you have had it as an obsession before.
Really?
Because maybe it was you.
I
still haven't watched season two.
I've devoured.
They're all recorded. Two. They're all on my PVR just sitting there. I haven't watched it yet. It was my favorite show of last year. Of all 2018, Killing Eve was my top thing I watched in 2018. It was
fully
the best.
Fully. Well, I can do a quick mention of Killing Eve. Sandra Oh is delightful. Jodie Comer is delightful. Villanelle in the clothes. The pink Philip Lim jacket she wears in the first season when she goes to prison. She fake goes to prison.
Yes. Or that big chiffon thing that she wore to the
black
meeting.
The big black tulle gown with the fucking veil.
Fantastic.
Yeah. God, genius. The fucking clothes.
I started watching Fleabag too. I gotta get on Fleabag.
Is it on Amazon?
That was my backup. Because it's also
I fell asleep during episode 4, but I need to like get back on it and finish watching episode 4 and then watch the rest of it. Because
I tore through the first season last night. Really?
Yes.
She's writing it?
Yeah. I'm very excited about this.
With the new James Bond.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you think it's gonna be a woman?
I thought it was Idris.
Was it Idris?
Maybe.
Is it confirmed?
I don't know. There's been so much talk about him being in than him being no.
I mean, he did just get a British Vogue cover, so that might just be an idea. Or
he did just also get married.
To a girl from Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho.
You're talking about Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Fleabag.
Yes.
Fleabag was so, like, my brother has been trying to get me to watch the show for, I shit you not, 2 years.
I was going
to
say, how long has this been on?
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were making, she was making Obama jokes in it. So I was like, okay, this must have been in for a while. Well, the joke is that her boyfriend broke up with her because she was masturbating to Barack Obama doing just some random speech.
Uh-huh.
You know?
As you do.
Probably now more than ever.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
Finding positivity where you can.
But this, I don't know, this Phoebe Waller-Bridge character, she's just a delight, just an absolute delight. These little worlds that she creates for us to pass the time in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, like there was just something about this Fleabag show that was so reminiscent of my life, where the older sister is uptight and businessy and thin and what all this stuff. And then like scary thin. And then there's the younger sibling who's cool, hip, happening, you know, like always speaks her mind, you know, and that's just like speaks so much to me and my brother's relationship. Because I'm uptight and cold and distant and scary thin. And my brother's always been super healthy, like always just like just looks
naturally
healthy. It's like super cool, laid back, always speaks his mind. And I don't know, it was just so cool to see that rapport on TV. Because I don't know, it that whole thing of like the staunch upper, like stiff upper lip older sibling is kind of been done a lot in storytelling.
Sure.
But in this context,
it's a trope. It's a reason is because everybody does it.
But like in the context that it was shown in this show, and then also throw Olivia Colman in there. With some great...
Olivia Colman, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A great character. Like this, like very successful British artist lady.
She's like her stepmom. Isn't
yeah.
She? Yeah.
Who's always so nice and always has the nicest little voice, but she's cutting you. Absolutely.
Destroying.
Cutting you with those fucking words and just like, oh, it's just so good. But yeah, highly recommend Killing Eve for the looks, the story, the gags. Fiona fucking Shaw.
Seriously, women
wearing the
doing
best
cool fucking shit.
I want Fiona Shaw's wardrobe. I want all of those little like cashmere throws with like the little knit separate moments and like the coordinates and
getting wasted and fucking a bunch of Russian guys.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Her whole like little touches of fur when she goes to Russia. Love it.
Beautiful.
I have nothing but time for an Aunt Petunia with a backbone who's also a badass and knows more than all the dudes in the show. Yeah. And there was one scene, I think maybe it's in the second season, where Villanelle looks at her and she's like, you're the real boss of this, aren't you? You really are the real, you were the real
top of the pyramid
boss. Like you were the, because she's involved in all of these things with all these people who have doing weird connections of, to yeah, all yeah, these yeah. world it's governments. All
spies and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's just like, oh, you're actually the one in charge.
Sweet.
And like it clicked in her head. And like she immediately had respect for that character. It's so cool.
It's like to the see, only thing yeah. she respects is like
it's so cool to see like three women together in a scene and they're talking about their jobs and they're and the conversation doesn't go off into someone's personal life.
Yes.
And in Killing Eve, their personal lives with their men are tertiary to their development as a human being or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like Sandra Oh's character has like the most involvement with her husband, but it's not a storyline you see play out all the time where it's just like she bends to the will of her husband. No, she always just like,
or one of those classic, I'm really good at my job, but hopeless in love.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Barf.
And it just gives it nuance and you never really know where any of these storylines are going. And oh, it's just so good.
So fucking good. Sweet. I gotta get on it.
Do it.
I gotta get on both.
Season two.
I'm out of the loop.
Oh, but I fucking love TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch that much TV, so I gotta.
There you go. You pick. Here you go. You're.
You will love both. Killing Eve. I know I will. Or Fleabag.
I know I will. Fleabag is next on my list.
And it's bingeable. I watched the whole first season. It's only 3 hours, the first season.
Sweet.
Because it's six episodes that are 20 Sweet. Something.
How the fuck did I fall asleep in episode four? Come on. Probably a bunch of alcohol.
Yeah.
And you have day children. Being, yeah. Yeah. I'm watching it at 10:30 at night after like two vodkas.
Yeah, because you're not a 26-year-old who had a coffee at 5 p.m. and just ripping.
Yeah, just ripping through.
Six Sativa Hybrid bong reps. Keeping me awake till 2 in the morning so I can.
Woo! Get her done!
So I can sketch and email and write while I'm watching Fleabag.
There you go. You're multi. Yeah. You're a business woman.
Woman.
Yes. Well, I have another TV show that I've binged. It's Nout. It's also another Amazon show after shitting on Amazon, but their TV content is excellent.
Oh, it's infuriating how good their TV is.
I watch Good Omens.
Oh, I don't know this.
David Tennant, Michael Sheen.
Is this the devil and the angel devil and situation? Angel,
or like evil angel, good angel.
Mm.
I read the book a couple years ago. I love Neil Gaiman. Read ton of his books, and he co-wrote it with this guy Terry Pratchett, who was also a big fantasy writer, who ended up writing, and I was trying to look into Terry Pratchett, and I'm like, where should I start? And I was like, oh, he has this series of 40 books. Oh, okay. So I read the first one and then realized it wasn't for me. But anyway, it's about the end of the world. It's about the apocalypse. And these two, a good angel and a bad angel, are trying to stop it. Because they've been put on Earth to like watch over and like manipulate when they need to. But now they've fallen in love with humans and human life in this world on the Earth, and they don't want it to end. But the powers above are like, no, it's fucking time. Like the war is coming.
It's in stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we need to have a war so someone can win the war. You can't win if there's no fight. So the higher ups are pushing for the apocalypse, and then these two little peons are trying to stop it. And it's so funny. And it's got all these layers of like Christianity and mythology and human history and the paranormal and like all these cool things that we just all exist with, all playing all these, you know, belief systems, and they all exist at the same time and they're all valid, which is a very interesting way. Because Neil Gaiman's done this in other books. He did it in American Gods, which is the same kind of deal. Also a great show on Amazon. American Gods.
Damn it. Amazon.
But, I mean,
it's also Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes.
I know.
We've talked about before. But Good Omens specifically, Michael Sheen plays the good angel. David Tennant plays the bad angel. They're fucking amazing. They're perfection incarnate. So good. And it's like, sometimes it's like, it's really like laugh out loud funny. And then sometimes you're just like, oh shit, that was super clever and really funny. But it takes you a minute to like realize what just happened. It's like, it's a weird aside. It's fantastic. Costumes are great. Effects, like, it's great.
Is it an hour?
So entertaining.
Hour?
Yeah, it's like six episodes or something. Again, six 55 minute episodes or something. I think I watched it in 2 days.
Hmm.
It's so good and so funny. And it's like, there's a lot of people who are in love with David Tennant. Legitimate reasons, because he's an exceptional human being and performer, but he's like He's like a little bit smarmy and a little bit charming and a little bit sweet. He's like all the things that David Tennant has done in the past that people love in one person. So there's something for everybody.
Mm. He's great. I love how we can just go back through these episodes and be like, I need a new show to watch. Like,
yes.
Session. That was going to be a good one in there.
Yes. Oh, I have another quick one.
Go on.
I haven't finished this book yet called The Power, about how women all over the planet all of a sudden have the power of electricity. They can harness all the magnetic power around them and shoot it out of their fingers.
What?
And kill people.
I have nothing but time for that.
And it's like this coming revolution of all of a sudden all the men are afraid of the women.
I like this.
Because they hold us. And the women are getting like power hungry and liking it. I'm only like maybe a third of the way through. I'm very excited to read the rest of this
book.
Who's
it by? Yeah.
I forget her name. Naomi something.
I'll look it up.
It's great. It's called The Power. It's fantastic.
We'll find it.
Waiting for that to be a TV show.
I think it's in the...
It's in the works.
Ava DuVernay was involved. Maybe not. I forget.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Anyway.
She just did a documentary / live action. I mean, I don't know, scripted something for about the Central Park 5.
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of...
And it's supposed to be brutal. Incredible. Yeah. Haven't watched it. On the list. Mine's real easy, real cheap and dirty, real quick. I have been obsessed with this company called Young Maven.
Yes. I've been eyeballing their t-shirts.
Eyeballing mine? Because I'm wearing it. I just got it. Gatley, one of my favorite stores in the city the drive here in Vancouver, carries them.
But tank tops too, though. They don't have giant armholes, I've heard.
They do have giant armholes. I've seen them. But they are a company.
Are they hemp?
They're 55 hemp, yes. 45 cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole thing is everybody in a hemp tee by 2020. It's not going to happen, but that's a great,
it's a lovely, goal. Yes.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I have been wanting to find more hemp. It's hard to find and it's very expensive because there are so
many
regulations about growing hemp, which is so fucking dumb. I'm hoping that the new cannabis laws in the States and here are loosening some of those restrictions.
Trickle down exactly. To these other, other industries that are related.
It's super soft. It's softer than linen. It's strong. It's got the cotton in it, so it's strong. Hemp itself is really strong as well. I was going to say
hemp itself is no...
It looks like...
It's beautiful.
Sort of a slubby jersey. It's super comfortable.
Mm.
I have not washed yet. I'm a little concerned.
I was literally looking at them today.
The neckline, yeah. But it's... I love it. Like, they're not cheap. It was like, with taxes, I think it was like $65 or something like that. Right. So it's not cheap, but
it's not exorbitant either.
It's not exorbitant. It's also something that will presumably last a really long time.
Where are they from? They're from somewhere in the West Coast.
I forget
if
they're Oregon or Northern California. Maybe. I can't remember. It might be Portland.
Sounds like something on the West Coast.
It is definitely West Coast. Yeah, it's definitely West
Coast. Good to know because they have nice colors and good, classic t-shirts and tank tops.
Looks like it has a lovely hand.
Yeah, it's really soft. I have been eyeing this company for a really long time because I'm
happy to know that because I wanted to go. I did the same thing with Fit and stuff. Like I'm happy to know that there's a place in town where I can go check them out.
Two places, Charlie and Lee on Union. And Gatley.
Good to know
on the drive. And they
have new works at Gatley too, which is like cool jumpsuits and stuff and cool prints.
Yep, mm-hmm. And Young Maven also has jumpsuits and tees and long sleeve tees and tanks and shorts. And it all has a hemp component in it.
That's great.
It's all made in the States as well.
Check it out.
So I am hoping it holds up. I'm going to wash it a few times and hopefully the neckline and everything holds up. I don't know about shrink, if it'll shrink or not. Sure. It's the only hemp tee I've ever owned, but I've been wanting to get one for a really long time. And I finally just bit the bullet and got it.
Yeah.
And
experiment.
And I'm... So far, in love with it.
So far, so great.
It's the Laurel tee, 5 ounce, if anyone is interested.
Good to know.
And the girl at Galley said they're like flying Hot through cakes. These tees. They're doing really well.
They know
well.
Beaten Linen, one of my favorite local companies too. They're carrying them now because she was looking for made in North America hemp and cotton stuff. And somebody recommended Young Maven to them and she's got a bunch of them.
I really want them to do well. I really want them to stir the pot.
Yeah, they're in the mix.
They're the only company that makes hemp that's like actually cool. It doesn't look like weird. I mean, there's definitely like a hippie bend to it.
It doesn't feel like you're wearing a burlap sack.
Well, I don't think that's a... I think that's a really common misconception about hemp.
Are you wearing with a puka necklace and a hacky sack?
Yeah, those two things are, I think, what people think of when they see a hemp t-shirt. Yeah. Or they think like some weird hippie mama yeah. who's in her 60s and is just wearing a sack.
Yeah.
Basically. Which there certainly is some of that.
That is available. Absolutely
available. But I think this company, Young Maven, is making it cool. And it's a younger brand. It's only been around for, like, it hasn't been around years. For super, yeah, super yeah. long, but 2002, maybe.
All right.
And it's on my tag. I can't see
there that you go, because right you're wearing now. It.
I don't have access to it. It's on
That's my good tag. To know.
So I'll let you know how it goes, how it washes, but I'm stoked to have it, and I am going to live in it this summer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So that's me. Buy a couple more and get them in rotation.
Also, it's navy, so how could I possibly say no?
Exactly. It matches everything.
Matches everything. You guys, we did it.
We did it, guys. We did it. We've done it.
Episode 84.
It got done.
In the can.
Yes.
We got to wrap this puppy up. Yeah. You guys, find us in all the places. Send us an email.
Please.
We are. We love when you guys reach out to us. We love when you guys tag us and stuff on Instagram. That
yes,
is
please.
The greatest. So yes, please. Doing that.
Oh my god, that fucking Donald Trump post the other day. Love it. No.
Honey, no.
It was great. I love it. If you're not looking at your Instagram, you are missing out.
It's sporadic, but it's good.
But yeah, we make it count. Yeah, Katie makes it count.
You guys, that's it. FashionHagsPodcast.com for the recap and all yes. these sessions.
Instagram, Facebook, website, all the things.
Yeah, Google. Check our website for a bunch of links and sessions and stuff. And give us a nice rating on iTunes. We love that so much. It really
great
helps. Review. And remember that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Okay, bye. Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Fashion.